upon revelation is prophecy.
Another thing that the Spirit is going to be a surprise to anyone. My grandfather wore his heart on his sleeve, and though opinionated and passionate, he was generally more of a listener than a talker, at least when it came to his grandchildren. Unless, of course, we brought up politics. He was a diehard Democrat until the very last ballot. He had an incredible view, too, all the way to the end, when he lay quietly listening to the random things we shared. We were taking advantage of every opportunity, and he was taking us in as well. Despite the fact that you, probably doing very well in so many ways, all of you, much better than I did given the length of his life and your relationships. The things I loved about him, I will share the things I loved about him. First, his unbelievable sense of humor. My grandfather was funny. Not hilarious, but funny. You'd accidentally bump him on one arm, and he'd immediately grab the other. He'd hold one hand up and he'd say, "You see this hand? Just need you pay attention to it." And with the other one, he'd grab your knee and say, "This is the one you have to watch out for," he said. On several occasions, he commented on my outfit, and it always went the same way. He'd say with a very straight face, "I love that shirt on you, honey. The color, the cut, the way it fits, not so great, but I love that shirt, honey." As I got older, I often felt like the unknown straight man to a joke he thought up and waited months to deliver. Looking for just the right time, ever patient for the perfect opportunity. A perfect example was the time we were discussing religion at the table. I know, a big no-no. God knows where we came up with that topic. I made a comment that Mormonism was the fastest growing religion, to which he quietly said, "Well, they do burn me up." It took us a while for you, don't worry. It wasn't a knee slapper, but it was a clever play on words. Who knew how long he had to wait for someone to set that one up for? My grandfather's jokes were usually clever ones, more one-liners than anything, often a play on words. His patience for timing was only matched by my grandmother's. She often had to patiently hear the same joke over and over again as he tried it out on different people, but she never ruined them for him. She always let him deliver the line. The last one was new, though. A few weeks ago, I asked him how he was feeling, and with a straight face, he said, "Like a bike. Too tired." It didn't bring as much of a laugh as a realization that even in his condition, his mind was working, and the default was, when there was enough energy, a way to like things and express himself by way of humor. I see that same style and sense of humor in my cousin Ben. Chris would definitely pass on his quiet, quick-wittedness. The next thing I'll remember about my grandfather was his genuine kindness, compassion, and generosity. Qualities he instilled in his grandchildren by example more than by words. His actions are well reflected in a story about children in a small African tribe. Who knew, right? Bear with me for a second, though. As the story goes, the anthropologist proposed a game to an African tribe of kids. He put a basket full of fruit near a tree and told them that whoever got there first could win the sweet fruit. When he told them to run, they all took each other's hands and ran together. Then sat together enjoying their treat. When he asked them why they had run like that, as one kind of hold the fruits for himself, they said, "Ubuntu, how can one of us be happy if all the other ones are sad? In Ubuntu, I am because we are. And he was because we were, both on a small scale and a larger scale. He derived his feelings of happiness from the happiness that surrounded him and gauged his success by how much he helped make somebody or something better. He said to me once, "You have to look at all the things you're doing. If it isn't helping make something better, what's the point?" He ended a lot of things with "what's the point?" And then my grandfather, he walked the walk too. He had habits that enabled his kindness, like always carrying plenty of cash. I never knew why until recently. few months ago, when my grandfather was in the hospital and my grandmother had been sitting by his bedside for quite some time, she realized out loud that she may not have enough cash in her wallet to take care of a few urgent errands. The family all wanted to offer cash to my grandmother, but most of us weren't carrying even a nickel, just plastic. My grandfather was almost horrified. "How can you not carry cash?" he said. "You always have to carry cash." He said it with a little bit of sternness to his voice, which was very rare. "You never know when you're going to need it," he added. "And if you don't have any cash, you'll have nothing to give someone on the street when they ask for it and need it." Joey said that life's successes were part knowledge, hard work, and luck. The percentages, never a mystery. And he firmly believed in sharing whatever luck he had. He believed that every contribution of his time and resources and his smile was a privilege to be able to give. Whether it be to his family, his friends, his community, his country, or just a single stranger on the street. And when he gave, he always gave generously and quietly, never sacrificing a recipient's pride in exchange for his contribution to be noticed and praised. Just a few weeks ago, I asked him about his childhood memories, and he mentioned with tears in his eyes his first bike and the day that his father walked him home for him. When I asked what happened to it, he said that eventually he gave it away. He looked me in the eye and said, "If I didn't need something, I'd give it away before I'd ever think of selling it." The most important thing I'll remember about my grandfather is not how much he loved, but the way he loved. He was funny, and he was kind, and thoughtful, and compassionate, and loving, of course. But how he loved was the most remarkable thing about him. Simply, to grant his love meant the last dilemma was yours. It was $5 rolls of quarters for the video arcade in Seaside that he quietly slipped into your pocket. Or the fact that there was always plenty of sweets in the house for us to have when we came over. Though maybe that was more for him than for us. It was his attendance at every sporting event you make it to, no matter how bad you were. It was sitting through graduation after graduation with a smile on his face, even if they are boring as all get out. On a deeper level, though, it was how he spent hours making us feel like what we had to say was important, whether we were 10, 20, 30, whether we had elicited our deepest thoughts and secrets or just details about our day. He listened with focus and offered advice carefully and thoughtfully. In bite-sized portions so that it could be digested. Snippets about how to treat others, how to view ourselves through his lens, like we were capable of doing anything. And he truly believed it, and never skimped on saying so. He supported us when we needed it, and for us, he took on a role that's very risky for a grandparent. He gave us his honesty, providing both praise and critical feedback, whether it be about our career choices, business, our relationships. And he was the best person to give it. Everything he touched worked out. Knowledge, hard work, and luck, he reminded me over and over again. Maybe not as planned, but it all worked out beautifully nonetheless. And his relationship advice was always good. He loved his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren very deeply. But marriage, he kind of reminded me, was work. Work that he absolutely loved. He taught us that successful relationships were not all sunshine and roses. The love required patience, understanding, teamwork, and then a little more patience. He had 61 years of marriage and served as evidence of the accurate recipe. He loved my grandmother so much and he did it so openly, heart always on his sleeve. 2 weeks ago, when I asked him about the best decision he made in his life, the first one he mentioned was a $10 investment, or maybe 15. It was his marriage life. His wife, his family, his community. He was happy because we were happy. And we were happy because he made it so. He is already so incredibly rich. It's not often that you know exactly what someone would say if they were standing at their very own funeral service, but I am certain I know what he would say. He'd look out and he'd see his family and his friends, his community, the representation of his life and his efforts, and he would be so proud. He'd say, exactly what he always said when he was outrageously happy. A sound that spread his happiness to everyone who heard it. Or at least made them giggle. If you know that sound, please join me. One, two, three.